all of a sudden, everything that you dreamed of for your life is completely upended. And so, on one hand, it's completely terrifying, and on the other, it is exhilarating.
Greetings, wealthy women, and welcome back to the Women Creating Wealth podcast. I am very happy that you're here today, and you are going to be happy too, because we have a really wonderful guest for you today. And we're not going to be talking like hardcore, like go buy this house and let's do this thing. We're going to really be talking a lot more about what you know I love to talk about, mindset, preparing yourself to be in this situation. Catherine Collins is with us today. She is a nationally recognized entrepreneur. She's the author of the book Mom's Got Money, which is a millennial mom's guide to managing money like a boss. Over the past decade, her writing and expertise have been featured in dozens of media outlets, including Good Morning America, Yahoo Finance, Forbes, U.S. News and World Report, The Huffington Post, Kiplinger, Investopedia, Business Insider, and many more. But she recently co-founded a personal development company called 5 Year You and launched a podcast by the same name, which you definitely have to check out. The ultimate goal of 5 Year You is to help 1 million people become their best selves in 5 years. Awesome. Catherine,
Thank you so
welcome.
much. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really
Oh,
happy to be here.
we're really happy to have you. So let's talk about the impetus for this change, for for this new you, this new book, the new podcast. What has sparked that for you?
Yeah, well, I have been on a 2-year journey of completely rediscovering myself. I was on a very like normal prescribed path, right? I was married for a long time. I had boy girl twins, beautiful home, successful career, and just sort of like all those societal check boxes. But about 2 years ago, I went through a really unexpected divorce and everything changed. And the interesting thing about divorce is once you get past like the initial gnarly bits of it, it's like all of a sudden everything that you dreamed of for your life is completely upended. And so on one hand, it's completely terrifying, and on the other, it is exhilarating. And I've always been a personal development junkie, and so I leaned a lot on, self-improvement books and therapy. And as I went through this change, I had to step into a lot more of my independence. I thought I was independent. I wrote this money book for moms. I'm encouraging moms, and then I found myself like, completely alone in this thing called life. And so now I want to take part in teaching people some of the tools that I use over the last 2 years to survive and eventually start thriving. And it really touches on many different areas of life, our new project and podcast.
And I know it can be so disorienting, right? I remember many years ago, I went through a divorce, and you think that you're working toward this common goal
For
and that
sure.
everything's all great. And even you feel that you have the security, right? Like,
100%.
and then all of a sudden it's like, bam, that was just all an illusion. And it can be like, you're like teetering on the edge of the, and you can go either way. Right? You can go
Yeah.
like into like, wow, now I'm free. I'm liberated. I can do anything I want. And I don't have to, now that everything has to be a committee decision. Or you can go like, whoa,
Yeah.
everything I thought was wrong. Right. So
Yeah.
congrats to you for going the, wow, this is a real exciting
Yeah, well,
journey.
we got there in the end, I think there's so many shame aspects to it. And for me, I know when I had to really take a step back, I was so determined and hard-headed. I was like, I'm gonna stay in this beautiful home and like I wrote the money book and I'm gonna figure it out. And then, I eventually came to a point like, okay, like I know enough about this to know that these numbers don't make sense long term. And it just takes some time to feel like, oh, am I a fraud? Like, I wrote the money book and I'm gonna have to sell this house. Like, this makes the most sense. And so you go through all of these different cycles, but I think I have a good plan now moving forward, but it's good to talk about. Not a lot of people talk about this, or you only see the successes, the big real estate flips, the 25-year-old who has six doors that they're renting. And I do think it's good to talk about how life's kind of unexpected sometimes, and you have to be kind to yourself in those moments.
Yeah, the catchphrase of COVID was pivot, right? But
yeah,
we pivot all the time, right?
All the time.
You don't
it's
need
all an illusion.
Exactly. Right. Well, and success and failure is an illusion too,
of
right?
Of course.
I mean, it's very easy to put yourself into either thing, like, wow, I'm doing so great, everything's awesome, or to say like, oh my God, I suck. And that could be two people in the exact same situation.
Of course.
And one is saying like, oh, I'm doing so much better. And the other one's going, oh my God, it's horrible. Yeah. You know, passing each other in the night. But once you get your brain around the idea that mm-hmm. there's some change happening.
Right.
And now how do you take that new, I remember when I went through my divorce, my mantra was like, I am at my bottom. I was sleeping at someone else's house, like borrowing a bed, like, you know, really like crap, like total crap. And I felt awful. But I said to myself, this is the bottom. I'm at my bottom. It's a very firm foundation to build a new life. And, you know, once I started to really embrace that, like, yeah, you know what? I don't need anybody. I don't have anybody else's mood swings. I don't have any other drama. Yeah. It's just me doing my thing. And it became a great place to be. So how do you know that it's okay? How do you like get yourself to feel like it's okay now for me to start something like, geez, I've got this amount of money. Is it okay for me to put some of it toward real estate investing? Is it okay for me to, you know, now I've got my own, you know, retirement plan. And how do I know that I'm okay? I guess is the very long way of answering asking that question.
It's a great question. And, you know, I think to sum it up, it's how do I know what to do? And the great thing that we teach is something that we developed. So I started 5-Year U with my longtime business partner of 6 years. He and I have done many projects together, very complementary skill sets, but this is our most favorite yet. And we developed something called the Layers of Life. And you kind of think of it like a big target. And in the center is you. It's your wishes, your hopes, your soul, your light, whatever you want to call it, whatever you believe, but it's the innermost part of you. And then the circle goes out, right, to family and friends and job and career. And then you get to the end of like accolades and expectations and awards at work and social media and then trips. And most of us, our guiding light is the outer circle. That's just how our society works. We're like, oh gosh, they're going on this trip. I want to go on this trip. Oh, my friend bought a duplex. I want to buy a duplex. My parents expect me to go to college, so I'm going to go to college. But what we teach after, you know, lots of life changes and ups and downs is the only person who knows what you should do is you. And a lot of people don't even know what they really want. And so the solution to what do I really want is you have to take time and ask yourself that. You have to get into the quiet moments or speak to a trusted therapist or physician or friend or whatever you feel comfortable with. You have to ask yourself, I have this whole life ahead of me. Is this something I really want, or do I want it because someone told me to want it? Do I want it because society says this is how you're successful? And I think if you can get really honest with yourself and start to live from a place of authenticity, then you start to actually experience the peace and the calm and the happiness that everyone is searching for.
You know, it's so interesting. We just, a couple of weeks ago, talked to Jen Drummond, who had scaled Everest, and, you know, and that was what happened to her. She had a life altering, so a very near death sort of situation, and said, you know, wait a minute. She had that clarity all of a sudden, like, oh my God, I'm just trying to like find my, you know, I'm looking at a mirror to tell me, someone else to mirror back to me and say, you're a good person, you're a good mom, you're doing everything right, you know, whatever. And that's throwing dirt into a bottomless pit, right? You're never going to find that fulfillment. You're never going to really be able to feel great.
And yeah.
Yeah. Do you, Do we need to have like a life-altering experience to do that?
I think it's a good spark. But we actually just did a podcast on contrast. And I do think every day there are these moments of contrast, and it'd be great if we could all, you know, think about touching base with ourselves, with that inner circle, without a, you know, near-death experience, divorce, death of a parent, loss of a job. But these things, the bottoms often are the spark for so many people. And so I would say if you are at the bottom, or you did just lose a job, or something unexpected did happen, it's helpful to look at it through the lens of contrast, just like you did. You were like, well, this is the bottom, so it's only one way to go from here. But there's so many moments of contrast just throughout the day, right? We wouldn't know joy without pain, happiness without sad. We wouldn't be grateful for our kids' little snuggly hugs had they not, you know, thrown a tantrum in Target. There's all these different things. And I think accepting that life does have these ups and downs, and they're all a part of our journey, and they're all lessons, I think can be helpful in at least coping with it.
Yeah, that's a super point. I'm a big fan of contrast, especially when I'm on the good side of it.
Yeah, we never notice the good side. It's always the bad side that we notice, you know? My business partner likes to say, like, when you stubbed your toe, it you know, it hurts, but you're never sitting there thinking, man, my 10 toes feel great right now. You know, it's like the bad things are what really sparks the contrast, but it helps you get through it.
Yeah, it's true. And if you can just think that, like, wow, you know, in a week from now, my toes are going to be amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's true. We wouldn't. And you find that, right? People have that sort of boredom. And that's one of the reasons marriages go bad. You just have this great marriage that nobody really cares about. Nobody thinks twice about. Right. Well, yeah, we communicate great. Yeah, yeah, he's really considerate, whatever. But then, and I'm not saying that this happened in your marriage.
Yeah.
I definitely could say it could happen in a lot of my relationships where you just take the person for granted, it gets boring, and then you're just like, next. And then you realize, oh, well, that actually that had some good aspects to it if I would have just appreciated it. So realizing that you're at the top of the scale at that moment, or that you're at least at a midpoint, and not having to go all the way to the bottom to find out how great that was.
Right. And like realizing that boredom is a good thing, because we all sort of have these different wounds, and we kind of seek drama. That's why the news is so popular. It's just like doom and gloom. And so sometimes when things are like really boring, or even when you're with someone like really, really nice, you're just like, something must be wrong. It can't actually be this good. Right. Yeah. So sort of getting within your own body and saying, like, calm is good, like calm is healthy, boring is good.
Embrace the boredom.
Yeah.
But then you can say, okay, I'm bored right now, which means I'm at a good place, right? I'm probably at a pretty good place. So maybe it's a good time for me to challenge myself and bring in a little contrast so I can get scared and spend some money on something, or
get curious. You know, get interested, try something new. I think always trying something new, from that place of like calm and peace is a good thing for sure.
Absolutely. So how, from a money perspective, what are some ways that people can find peace with the idea that, you know, I'm ready to change jobs, or I'm ready to try something new, I'm ready to buy an investment property. Like, how can you say, like, I have enough, I'm in a good place? And actually, if you also want to talk about like renting and putting your money toward, you know, like lowering your own monthly expense so that you can then do something a little brave with some other aspect of your life.
Exactly. Well, I think, you know, first of all, it's good to say, I don't think you'll ever feel 100% confident already. A lot of it is you're going to need to take a little bit of a leap. The more experienced you get, right, the more experience you get with investing, the more experienced property investors get, they can maybe develop a good eye for it, but things are unpredictable. You never really know what's going to happen. And so I think the most important thing is to ensure your own security. And everyone has different comfort levels. Some people are good with $5,000 in the bank, and they'll just, some people just have different levels of risk. For me, I tend to be a little bit more conservative with it. And I think as long as your personal finances are in order, you don't have high interest debt, you have a solid savings, you understand the full spectrum of, let's say, a real estate investment, you know what happens if it goes bad, if you're unable to make your bills, if you don't get a tenant, if there's a fire, if a tenant destroys it. Just having that knowledge and understanding of it and knowing that if it goes sideways, your personal finances are okay, I think it's a good place to go. And at least for me, like I said, I did have a home, a beautiful home. It was the second home I owned. And I had to sit back and say, you know, I have these long-term goals. I am a 36. I am pursuing financial independence. And I'm also a very naturally frugal person. So I had to really sit there and ask myself, you know, why am I trying to hang on to this home? Is it because I want to prove to everyone that I can afford it on my own? Is it because it represents this, you know, checkbox in life, like I achieved this level of success? Is it because I'm afraid to go back to my community? I mean, I work community and say, hey, I sold my house. You know what? Like, I decided to rent now. And what are people going to say for someone that wrote a money book that decided that, when, of course, our, you know, societal expectation is that people who are wealthy have investments, real estate investments, they're homeowners, they have all of these varying streams of income. And again, going back to that inner circle, I really had to ask myself, what do you really want? And in that moment, I wanted a sense of security. I wanted a runway. I wanted to give myself some time and permission to hit the pause button, build up my cash reserves, and then make a decision from there. So I did sell the house and I moved two streets over to a much smaller rental. And I've been here almost a year. And even still, I feel so much more security as a single parent now with the money in the bank. And I'm still sort of deciding, is this what I want to do, or do I want to be a renter? Like, one of the financial experts I follow is Ramit Sethi. He wrote, I Will Teach You to Be Rich. And, you know, multi-million dollar a year business, lives in New York, and he's super pro renting. He's like, I like my money and my investments where I know what's going to happen. I don't want to pay for like a $20,000 roof all of a sudden. He's like, you know, for him, it's the rigidity and the expectation of I know what my rent is every month. And just allowing yourself to explore different opportunities and ideas, even if you've always grown up with the idea that it has to be a certain way.
Well, even if you look at, you know, like Rich Dad Poor Dad, which,
Yeah.
you know, there are a lot of, you know, your own home is actually bad debt because you're not making any money from it. So unless you're
Yeah.
going to rent out your basement,
Yeah.
your home, or live in a multifamily or something like
Yeah.
that, your personal residence is probably not where you should be putting the majority of your money. You're better off to take that and invest it in something that's going to pay you back and potentially pay your rent, right? To
That's
have
right.
that good debt that's going to bring money in.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, when you're talking about your personal residence, I know a lot of people think, oh, it's an investment, but if you need to live
Yeah.
someplace, it's really not an investment because you're going to just sell that and buy something else. So
Yeah, it's definitely just a place to live, and I'm sure a lot of people listening have had those like big house expense moments. And right after my divorce, I think my ex moved out in January, and in February, like the whole basement flooded. And of course, like I see the basement flooding, and I call him because, again, you're not used to your new reality. And he was like running through the airport. He's like, look, I really wish I could help you. I'm sorry that's happening, but I'm actually like getting onto a plane right now. And I remember hanging up and being like, I don't even know like what to do right now, you know. But again, growth moments. And I just remember getting the bill for that and getting, you know, and just realizing like I need to really cut my expenses. And by selling that house, I cut my expenses by about 40% just because the house required the maintenance and the cleaners and the you know, the guy that cut the grass and all these different things. And just by taking the moment to slim down, I do not regret the decision at all, even if I don't fit the, again, the mold of what equals success at, you know, 36 or whatever we all think. You know, I'm rewriting the story of what that means.
Good. Excellent. Because yeah, juggling all your bills to support bad debt is not what, I mean, maybe yes, people say you have to check these boxes and have these things, but actually what you want is a lifestyle that allows you to live comfortably. I'm all for cutting expenses and
yeah,
right? Because it frees you up to do something better.
Yeah. And I get all these little moments, like just in my local community group, they'll be like, hey, this person quoted me $4,000 to redo my driveway. Does that sound right? Or do you guys know anyone? I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad I'm not spending $4,000 on a driveway right now. Because in this moment, again, my goal is financial independence. And like, yeah. I want to put the $4,000, I want to invest it. I don't want to put it in a driveway right now. So
exactly.
That's where my focus has shifted. And it's been very freeing, actually.
Excellent. Excellent. So do you have, during any of your evolution, have you ever worked with a coach? Do you have people who you bounce ideas off of who are giving you the benefit of their wisdom?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, I have a long-term business partner, and he's about 8, 9 years older than me. And we met at a personal finance bloggers conference. And his name is Andrew Dewar, and he, you know, paid off his house in his 30s, you know, reached financial independence at a young age, and he is an accountant. And so he very generously ran my numbers with me. And obviously knows me super well from working together daily, but you know, I definitely like ran it by him and said, like, what do you think? These numbers make sense. I talked to my parents about it. It was definitely a humbling moment for me. When I was selling my house, I asked my mom and dad for help. I was like, look, I think I need to move out of this house and rent first. And then we're going to like stage the whole thing and clean it, so people aren't like stepping on Legos when they're trying to look at this house. Like, I think this is the right thing. But in that moment, I was like, the double rent and mortgage, I don't know how long this is going to take. Like, I might need some help. And they were like, fine. Hadn't asked my parents for help since I was like a freshman in college. So it was very humbling for me. And so, yeah, I definitely had a lot of people. I was in weekly therapy for a solid year after the divorce. And yeah, I'm very big on asking for help, advice, talking to people smarter than me. It's the only way to learn, really.
Yeah, 100%. It took me a lot longer than it took you to figure that out. But
well, you do like want to prove to everyone. You're like, I can do it. I'm fine. I'm good.
Yeah, good. Yeah, no, don't worry about me. You know, I just fell down the stairs, but I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, Well, yeah, the benefit of, you know, being a financial writer for the last 10 years is there's this great community of people who are, you know, quote unquote weird. And, you know, I had another good friend going through a divorce at the same time, and also an entrepreneur. You know, she sold a website, she bought a house. She was regretful she bought a house like a little bit nicer than she should have. And so I had like other people's experiences because she just wanted to prove that, you know, she could have a house as nice as the one she had before. And so I had all these different people who are vulnerable and open about their experiences that really helped me make the choices that I made as time went on.
Absolutely. And it comes back to what we were talking about earlier, right? The idea that your happiness is going to come from someone else outside you saying,
right,
good job, you know, good job. You did it. You know, hey, you got your house. Yay. Check that box. Got your, you know, your perfect family with your, you know, your boy and
your
girl.
Your boy-girl twins. I know.
Right?
It's like so Pinterest perfect. And it's just,
I love that. Pinterest perfect. That's it. We're the Pinterest perfect family. And behind the scenes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I always say like there's no medals in the mail, you know, and it took me a long time to think about that as the marriage because my parents have been married over 40 years. My ex's parents have been married over 40 years. And I had to really tell myself, like, it's okay. Like, they're not getting a medal in the mail that says, congratulations, you made it to 42 and 43. It's like everyone is just kind of worried about themselves and their own lives, right? And there's no big reward or accolade that'll be any better from you being at peace with yourself. But it is hard to get there. It's hard to get that lesson in.
Well, it's true. It's definitely true. And should they have stayed together for 42 years, right? Were those 42 blissful years and everybody was so happy and it was fantastic? Or is it just like persistence? Like, I'm going to do this thing if it kills me, you know?
Probably a little both.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's funny because I've been trying to, I shouldn't say trying. I've been learning dance.
Oh, awesome.
Like partner dancing.
I love that. I'm a dancer as well. So I'm a big fan of that. That's great. How
what do you like to do? What kind of dancing do you like to do?
Well, I grew up doing ballet and was in a contemporary dance company, like at an arts high school. So it's always been a big part of my life. But I have been dreaming about dancing. Actually, I had a dream I was dancing and performing last night. So I'm glad we're talking about it because I think I'm getting little nudges to get back into it. So I'm sorry. Say what you were going to say. I got excited. Go.
No, it's perfect because I just like, why was I inspired to talk to you about dance? It's like, it just said, oh, she needs to hear this right now. Yeah. So talk about dancing. And the reason I was going to bring it up is just because, you know, you know that you're terrible. Like I know that I'm terrible. Like I'm up there and it's not just like I'm terrible dancing by myself. I'm terrible dancing with others who are good, you know? And someone said to me, look, when people are watching other people dance, they're watching the good people. No one's looking at you. So just don't worry about it, which is fine. But I'm going to make a confession is that on Sunday night, I was at a dance thing and I was dancing with this guy. They have this thing called the mixers where you just like grab, you know, whatever woman, whatever man, you know, you're at the front of the line, you just dance together. And so I was dancing with this guy. We just got to the back to where he was just going to let me go. And I don't know what happened, but he started to go down. And I don't know if I tripped him up with my, so I'm trying to hold him up and I'm falling. And in the end, we both fell. And I found out he's 95 years old. So I thought, Jesus, I hope I didn't kill this guy. Like, you know, oh my God. So yeah, it's not like I was joking like before that saying, oh, you know, if we both walk away, it's a good dance. You know what I mean?
But like, what a good experience. Like how many people give themselves permission to be a beginner again at something? I think it's great. I love that. And like how many people give themselves permission to try a new hobby or do a new thing? We're all sort of like stuck in the patterns. I think it sounds fun. Glad you didn't kill someone recently. So good for you.
Everyone was able to walk away from the crash. So it's good, right?
Yeah. Contrast, it was a good day. No deaths. Excellent.
And every time I don't fall, I'm gonna be like, yes, nobody fell. I have no bruises from that dance.
Yeah. And you get better over time. And you kind of have this it's hard for me to have like hobbies, you know, and be mediocre at something. So I think it's good to go and just try to enjoy it for what it is and not to say like I'm gonna be, you know, a professional dancer out of this, or I'm going to, you know, start this craft and I'm going to have $1 million-year Etsy store. Like, I think it's okay to do something just for the enjoyment of doing it. Trying to learn that one now. That's my next thing to learn.
So do you think you'll get back into the dancing that you've already done or try a new type of dancing?
What you're doing sounds really fun. I did some swing dancing classes and salsa and things like that. I think that would be good. But for me, I think it'd just be good exercise. It'd just be good to do something for myself. There are a lot of adult dance classes here. I'm on like their Facebook pages and I get notifications, but I just never let myself do it because, you know, I'm raising humans. And so maybe we'll see.
Swing dancing, if you do East Coast swing, it's actually pretty easy and fun. A lot of fun, you know. But I think the secret is, so now we're totally on a little detour. But
sorry, guys, we're having fun.
we're just having a little chat here. So hopefully you enjoy it. That if you pick a type of dance where you enjoy the music, then it's just going to be fun. So
it's just good.
It's going to be good.
It's just some good exercise. Better than running on a treadmill. How boring, you know?
Exactly. I know this morning I got to the gym and I always walk around the gym like a bunch of times because if you do it 4 times, it's a mile. So I'll just run around the gym a bunch of times.
Nice.
Because it's a beautiful day here, you know, it's like getting warmer. The spring is coming. And as I walk in, like everybody's on the treadmill, I'm like, get outside, people. The sun's coming up. Yeah. You know, it's a beautiful day, but you know, everybody's going to do their own thing. So
that's right. You get so the medal for going back to, out in the sun.
Yeah, I like to do my own thing outside, but
yeah.
So what kind of advice would you give to people who are at a point, you know, maybe their turning point is they turned a certain age or there's a big life change coming, or they just realize I'm in a bit of unpleasant contrast at this moment. What kind of advice would you give to people as sort of a takeaway?
Yeah, first I would say be kind to yourself and give yourself grace. And again, work from the inside out. And anytime you have those thoughts, it's like, I shouldn't be feeling this way, or this shouldn't have happened, or I shouldn't have lost this job, or I shouldn't have lost money on this slip, or whatever it is. Give yourself permission to make mistakes. It's part of our human experience. And if you need a helping hand, I think it's okay to reach out for help. There's so many different avenues people can take. There's so many therapy apps. There's so many therapists that offer sliding scales. There's so many groups and coaches. There's so many places that you can go to get help, and just give yourself permission to do that. Know, like you said, that you're at one of those bottom moments. The only way to go is up. But I think a lot of rest, a lot of kindness, and a lot of journaling and thought and meditation on where do you want to go from here. And part of our 5-year you mantra is that the boss of you, your guiding light, is you, the you of 5 years from now. You know, Andrew and I, as the podcast host, we're not the ones that get to decide what you want to do 5 years from now. And so I always think, like, what is the Catherine of 5 years from now? What can I do to become her? What would she tell me? Would she tell me that, you know, there's no rush, it's okay to rest right now? Or is this a moment where, you know, I just need to like start cleaning my house and getting rid of stuff, and I know that's going to make me feel better? Or is this one of those times where I need to admit to myself, like, okay, I might need help. I might need medicine. I might need something I haven't done before that maybe other people in my family don't agree with, but I have to do it for me. And so sometimes I kind of journal as the 5-year you version of me. What does she look like? How much money does she have? We do an exercise where we say, pretend you're showing up at a party 5 years from now. What are you wearing? Who are you with? Where is the party? Are you in some destination? Are you in your same neighborhood? What feels good? What would be your aspiration? And that's a really good exercise to do, because instead of kind of flailing around, like, I don't know what to do, I'm in this bad spot, it at least gives you a goalpost where, like, oh, I didn't even know where that came from. I had no idea I wanted to go to a party to begin with. And then second of all, I had no idea that, you know, I showed up really fit, or I showed up with a different partner, or where did that come from? You might surprise yourself. But envisioning where you want to go is a good place to sort of, you know, get the compass pointed in the right spot.
Yeah, that's fantastic advice. Definitely.
Thanks. But,
and you're right. It helps to clarify. Like, where I'm writing my, it's hard because I have a lot of like future homes in my mind, but I've started to write about like all the things I love about it.
You know,
the great view, and the different aspects of my next living situation. So then that's a lot of fun, right? And it's not like, I heard a thing this morning, you know, it's not like you're getting out of one car and you're getting into the next one. It's not like that's going to has to be your forever car, right?
No.
You can now get into the next car and like, ooh, where's the next taxi I'm going to hail, and where's that going to take me? So
that's why we say 5 years, because for me, like 10 year me is a little bit too far off. And the me of 1 year from now is maybe has a little bit more money in the bank, or maybe has a little bit better habits. But I know, based on the experience and how long healing takes, and, you know, it's hard to develop new habits and new lifestyle. That's a little bit too soon. So for us, like, choosing the 5-year you has been good. And when you're thinking about your houses, I love visualizations. I do the same, and I name the houses. Like, you can, maybe this house is the sanctuary, and this house, you could be like, this is the chalet, this is the lake house, this is whatever. And I kind of give them names and personalities, because it kind of, anything you, the more detail you have, the closer you can get to it. Right.
Absolutely. So, Catherine, is there anything you wish I would have asked you that we haven't touched on? Anything you want to make sure people know?
Wow, that's a really good question. I think my goal in coming here is, of course, just to encourage women that they don't have to be perfect. They don't have to check all the boxes. It's okay to pause. And I would love to invite them to check out 5-Year You. You can find us on all the socials. We've been putting little clips. I apologize in advance for all the dad jokes that Andrew says. But I think that if anyone's interested in self-improvement, I think you'll enjoy it.
I have no doubt. I've certainly enjoyed our conversation. So I know your podcast is a hit.
Thank you. Awesome. It's so kind.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. I love what you've shared. I love your attitude and your smile and your whole,
thank
like,
you.
You know, right?
It's so this nice. Is,
yeah, it's just, I don't know. I've had fun. I hope everyone else has fun, has had fun too.
I've had fun as well. Thank you so much for inviting me on. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. And thank you, listener, for listening. And I want you to think, all right, we have this, Catherine has a great message for us. Who can I share this with? Because, you know, I bet you can write off the top of your head and think of 5 people who would love to hear what she's just shared and who would really benefit from it. So why don't you just share this episode with them and share her podcast, and have a wonderful week.